As we prepare to hear from God's word in the Gospel of Mark, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still, small voice. Open us to change and growth, that we may walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
The whole scripture reading today is from Mark 1, verses 9 to 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of the Lord.
By now, these words from Mark ought to be familiar to you, because this is the third time that we've looked at this passage over the course of the last, 3 months. We started in Advent hearing about John the Baptist and his baptism by the Jordan River. That was in the season of Advent. The Sunday after Christmas, we heard about Jesus' baptism on the day that we traditionally celebrate Jesus' baptism. And now today is the day when we would normally look at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness on the first Sunday in the season of Lent. Now, Matthew and Luke go into great detail about Jesus' testing in the wilderness by Satan. You know, it's the three tests, right, where Jesus is presented with a stone and Satan tells him to turn the stone into bread and feed himself because he is hungry. And Jesus says, you know, Scripture says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then Satan takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and tells him to throw himself down. The angels will save him and God's name will be made famous. And Jesus says, Scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan takes him up to the highest point and shows him all of creation, everything, and says, all of this is mine and I'll give it to you. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, Scripture says, worship the Lord your God and him alone. And then Satan flees him, which is great. But in Mark, it's so much less. It's like, Jesus gets tested in the wilderness for 40 days by Satan. He's attended to, or he's with, wild beasts and angels. And then he emerges on the other side. The number 40 in Scripture is significant. It comes up again and again. We first encounter the number 40 in the story of Noah. Remember, Noah gets on the ark that God told him to build, and it rains. And how long does it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Good. And then we get the story of the Israelites, and they're wandering in the wilderness. And how many years do they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. Okay? And we get the story of David and Goliath. And how many days does Goliath march out and stomp his foot at the Israelites and drive fear into them. You may not remember this one. 40 days. Okay. If you haven't picked it up yet, the answer to all of these questions today is going to be the number 40. How many games are the Yankees going to win this year? 40. Four? All right. I got a fellow Mets fan here. See, he speaks my heart language. This is good. We're going to leave football season behind. So anyway, not to get too far off track here, Jesus is tested in the wilderness for 40 days, and I think that that number 40 is significant because it is meant to connect time in the wilderness with the people of Israel. So let's focus in on that story this morning. Do you know how long it takes to walk from Egypt to the promised land? If you said 40 years, you're wrong. It doesn't take that long. It might take something closer to 40 days or just a month. I mean, it doesn't take very long. They march through the wilderness. They get to the promised land. They look across the river, and they send spies across to check it out. And the spies come back, and they say, what a great land it is. Boy, it's filled with milk and honey, and it's full of, you know, and Joshua and Caleb say, we can do this. Let's go. God's on our side. We can take this place that God is giving to us. But the other 10 spies say, no, the people who live there are giants, and we're like grasshoppers compared to them. And they will do to us what giants do to grasshoppers, step on us and squash us. And they get afraid, and they don't want to go. And God gets angry, Scripture tells us, because the people did not trust. And so he says to Moses, you're going to lead these people until that whole generation dies away. And when there's a new generation, then they can come in. But the people, they say, well, maybe on second thought we will go. Once again, not listening to what God has to say and not trusting. And they decide to enter into the promised land anyway. But now God's favor is not with them. And the giants do what giants do to grasshoppers. They get stomped on. They run away with their tail between their legs. And for 40 years, they wander through the wilderness. I've got a question for you today. Is the wilderness wandering of the Israelites punishment for their disobedience? Something to ponder. The stuff that happens to us, the wilderness that we sometimes wander in as a people, joblessness or sickness, mental illness, depression, global pandemics. Is this punishment from God because of a disobedience, a lack of faithfulness? One of the things that Lent teaches us, I think, in this 40-day season where we are invited to join Jesus in the wilderness, to be tested, to be honed, to be shaped, is that for the people of Israel, their 40 years of wilderness wandering is not a punishment for their lack of faith. It's because they still have the mentality of slaves. They're not ready to be the people of God. They need time to learn. They need time to grow as a people, to grow in their relationship with God. And so over the course of 40 days, every morning when they wake up, except for the Sabbath, there's manna on the ground for them to gather and eat. There's quail that visit the camp. that they can kill and eat. Every day, God takes care of them. And for 365 days over the course of 40 years, which is a lot of days, it's a lot of manna, it's a lot of quail. On more than one occasion, they get sick of it. But God proves to them that God is faithful day after day after day. If they had a song to sing, they would sing, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." And over the course of 40 years, they learn to trust and rely on God, and then they are ready as a people to enter into the promised land. These 40 days of Lent that mirror Jesus' 40 days of being tested in the wilderness is our opportunity, the season that God gives to us to be shaped into the people that God calls us to be. When Jesus emerges on the other side of his 40-day journey, he prepares a sermon that he preaches over and over and over again. The time is now. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. The word repent in Greek is metanoia, a change of mind. Jesus' sermon is, it's time for you to break out of old ways of thinking and embrace something new. It's time to stop going your own way and instead learn to go God's way. We don't like to go someone else's way. We like our own way. It makes us feel good. It's part of our DNA as humans, I think, to decide that something that we've done on our own is better because we've done it on our own than it is if someone has told us where to go. Sometimes here in Bergen County, I get adventurous. I decide to turn off the GPS because I know where I'm going. I tried this for the first time, actually, well before we lived here, when I first moved to New Jersey. Now, in Iowa, the roads are pretty much a grid. You have north, south, you have east, west. If you get on this road and you head east, you're heading east and you'll get to where you're going eventually. So here in New Jersey, my friend Mike and I, we were setting up the apartment that Sarah and I were going to live in down in Plainsboro, and we had stored some stuff with my friend Nathan up in Oakland. And we knew that Interstate 287 is a north-south road. And so if we get on it, we'll get to where we're going eventually. And so I plugged into, MapQuest at the time. You had to print off the map ahead of time. And traveled these kind of weird roads to get up there, but decided, why don't we just hop on 287 and get back home? Which is fine. So we're driving, and we're driving, and we're driving, and we get to the end of Interstate 287, and it's nowhere near where we're trying to be. I mean, it's pretty much a straight line, north-south, from Oakland to Plainsboro, but not so much, because Interstate 287 is shaped like the letter C. It's only north-south for 10 miles, and otherwise it's east-west. I was going my own way, and I got there eventually after stopping off at a couple of gas stations and asking someone who had no idea what I was talking about. We finally worked our way over and figured it out, found a road that looked familiar, and a trip that should have taken an hour took us three, probably. But hey, I got to see some great parts of New Jersey. Yogi Berra made a famous saying that actually originated far before he said it. We're lost, but we're making great time. We don't know where we're going, but we sure are going fast. And that is like the American mantra, I think. We know the way, and we'll get there as fast as we can. Except we don't know the way. And when we decide to go our own way instead of attending to what is God's way, we end up in all kinds of strange places. The season of Lent is a call to repentance first, to be truthful with ourselves, to say, we don't know where we're going, no matter how great of time we're making. But the way we've been going is not leading us to where we want to be. And so it's time to turn around, to figure out who God is calling us to be, what God's way is. And then through the practice of disciplines to reconnect to the source of our life, the Spirit of God, who dwells within us and speaks to us and leads us in the same way that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness and then led Jesus into this ministry of preaching. And so, my friends, for us as individuals, for us collectively as a church, the time is now. The season of Lent is upon us to repent and then to trust and believe the words that Jesus is saying to us. Too often we are like the Pharisees, who are Jesus' main antagonists in the Gospels, whose stance is, we're already doing things right. The only people who need to repent are the ones who are doing things wrong. But even if we think we're on the right track, if we examine ourselves long enough, we find things that need change. We find ways that our thinking has been skewed. We find ways that our life has gotten off course. And perhaps it's unnoticeable at first, but the farther along you go the wrong way, the farther away from your preferred destination you get. So repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the first discipline, really, is to examine yourself, to examine ourselves together as a church. Take seriously the work of repentance on our journey through this 40 days of wilderness to find faith on the other side. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of the wilderness, the place where your Spirit leads us in uncomfortable ways to form us and shape us into the people that you call us to be, a people ready to proclaim this good news that the time is now, the kingdom of God is here. So, Lord, open our eyes to see and experience that kingdom in our midst today. And take us off the path that we're on. And make our path straight to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith together, in the words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.